Well, what a blessing to be back at Door of Faith. And I'm so excited because I believe that that reformation and transition is happening everywhere. Amen. Come on. We are in a new season. We've stepped into a new era with God. Amen. So we've got to position ourselves. We've got to find that place of posturing. Our posture needs to change, not just to stay in a posture of praise, which is good, but we've got to get into a posture of change. Amen. Come on. And so I want to just say we're delighted to be here. Dear myself, love coming here. We've been coming to Hawaii for over 30 years. And I want to tell you, I still believe God wants to bring revival to these islands. Amen. Come on. There has to be something that needs to break forth. You can't be in the cycle of receiving for so long and never see a fire fall. And so we're just so excited. But we've got some dear friends, Robert Oyamatu. We had lunch with them yesterday. You know, we have known Robert for over 20. We actually knew Robert before our daughter was born, and she's 26. So 28, 29 years. It's such a joy. And then a dear couple from Australia, Perth, in Australia. I praise God for the Australians. Amen. And so what a blessing. I met them probably 12 years ago, 14 years ago. I gave Tracy a prophetic word that literally changed their life. And that's why you need to get around the prophetic school this week, because God wants the church to be a prophetic voice. We've got to become like the sons of Issachar. And the prophetic gifting and anointing is not only for a chosen few. Amen. It's for the body of Christ. And I gave her a word about coming into the prophetic. She couldn't even spell the word prophetic then. And now travels around the world, goes to Poland, goes to Europe, is a recognized prophetic voice. So why don't we give them a hand? Amen. And Corey, her husband, is a man that is on the business mountain. I believe he's a marketplace apostle on the business mountain. God's going to use him on these islands. I mean, he's doing some amazing stuff on the islands and beyond. So I want to just say it's such a blessing to meet people that have been privileged enough to receive a word from the Lord. And so this morning, I'm not speaking on the prophetic, but I'm speaking about reformers. And the title of the message, if you want to put a title to the message, is Reformers Arise. We've got to step into the fact that we are the change agents on the earth. Wherever we go, we bring a change to the atmosphere. We bring change to the status quo. Amen? Come on. So, Lord, this morning, as I get into this word, God, that your people, your precious ones, will receive, will be activated, will be stirred up, God. They will step into their purpose and their destiny for this new era in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. How many of you know that reformation is a biblical term? It's not just a term that we just use because it sounds good. But when you go to Hebrews, and I'm not going to go there right now, I'm first going to go to the book of Acts, and I'm going to show you what happened in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 17. And we're going to just go through some verses here and show you that these disciples of old, the men and women that lived in this exciting time. How many of you know that time was one of the most exciting times? Jesus ascended. They received the impartation the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That should get you excited. Amen. Come on. Are you guys okay? You had your spam this morning? All good. Amen. Some of you had cereal. Some of you had spam. I can just see the guys that ate spam are the ones that want to go to sleep. Amen. Come on. You've got to arise in this season. You've got to get ready. You've got to get postured. You've got to be ready. You've got to be alert. You've got to be listening to the frequency of heaven. There's things going on in heaven. We've got to be listening. We've got to be hearing. We've got to find that posture. You'll hear the word posture and presence this week a lot. We've got to be walking in His presence. And these people started to walk in His presence. And in Acts chapter 17, and I'm going to read from verse 5, it says, but the unbelieving Jews, they were ministering to the people there. They'd been to Thessalonica. There was a synagogue. Paul entered, as he usually did. He preached there for three Sabbaths. There was a lot of stuff going on. There was a lot of activity. And then it says here in verse 5, but the unbelieving Jews were aroused to jealousy and getting hold of some loungers, some ruffians and rascals in the marketplace, they gathered together a mob, set the town in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring Paul and Silas out to the people. Make no mistake, some of you are about to receive, or some of you are about to walk into some very clear opposition. And it's almost like the church doesn't like the opposition. Just give me all the faith verses. Give me all the blessing verses. Give me all the joy verses. But don't speak to me about opposition. Well, I've got some news to tell you. We have just entered into one of the most grave eras, moments, history in our time. And you and I, as men and women of God, are going to face opposition. Amen. Come on. And these people faced opposition. They faced all sorts of rebuttal. There was all sorts of resistance coming against them. Amen. Come on. In verse 6 it says, but when they failed to find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren before the city authorities, crying, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. In other words, when I read that, I realize that these men, the disciples and Paul and Jason and all these other people, came into the city and they literally turned the region upside down by preaching the good news. Amen. Come on. You need to start realizing that our mandate is not to bring some easy, wheezy, you know, just some type of just, well, you know, maybe. No, you've been called to bring the Word of God in such clarity and power and authority that it changes the atmosphere. Amen. Come on. We've got to realize that it's not just, you know, mediocre stuff. Well, let's see what happens. Sarah, Sarah, well, whatever will be, will be. No, those days are over. You've got to realize you were born again for such a time as this. And God wants you to change the climate of your region. Because the question that you need to ask yourself is, who do you want to occupy these islands? It's all about occupation. Because if you're not living out of His presence, if you're not living out of the presence of God, if you're not being totally saturated by the presence of God, you won't have anything to say. Come on, church. You'll just be very quiet, very mediocre, you know, just compromise. You'll just want to please everybody. Because let me tell you right now, as a man and woman of God, what you say matters. Well, how you act matters. How you live your life matters. Amen. Come on. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. How you live your life matters. And if you don't understand that, there will never be any reformation. What does the word reformation mean? In the Greek, it's actually the word diothesis or diothesis, or however you want to speak the Greek. It means to create a new structure. We are yet to create new structures. We are yet to create new government. We are yet to create a new atmosphere. In other words, there's a new system. There's a new way of doing things. We're not just going to carry on doing the same old stuff. Amen. How many of you know that we need to break the cycle of repetition, which really is a cycle of convenience? It's so convenient to get up in the morning, have a cup of coffee, drive to church, get there about 20 minutes late. It's all about convenience. I don't want to drive too far. Anything further than 10 miles is too far. Give me a break. And we've just seen church as a convenience. We've seen worship as a convenience. We've seen everything we do as a convenience. We want to make sure the church is cool. It's got air conditioning, parking. They've got to feed me. They've got to love me. They've got to burp me. They've got to change my diaper. The church has to look after me all the time. That's convenient. And we've got into these cycles of repetition. I want to tell you, brother, I'm so glad that you did communion this morning. We had communion. Amen. It wasn't just left in some in the back row, in the back of a church somewhere, take communion when you please. That was honoring of God this morning. I'm so delighted that you guys know how to take communion. For some churches, that would be foreign. That would be actually a little offensive. We went too long in communion. Can you just have communion at the back there? And when you please, just take communion. That's not communion. That's convenience.
And the church has grown up because of the culture in America. We've grown up around convenience. Come on, just smile. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I leave in a week, so don't worry. But this week, you're going to have to endure me. Amen. Come on. You're going to have to endure the word of the Lord, because I'm not here to bring some convenient, wishy-washy message. I'm here to get you ready, because as I've said, we have stepped into a new era. We've stepped into this new place. We've never been here before, but God has. Amen. Come on. As a prophet, I can tell you, God's been down the timeline of your life, down the timeline of the history of Hawaii. He knows what's happening where you don't even understand. You haven't even seen it. God says, I've seen it and it's good. But I want my bride to be ready. I want my bride to be positioned. I want my bride to live in my presence. I want my bride to live in my spirit. I want my bride to understand her authority, not her influence. Jesus didn't say in Matthew 28, all influence I've given you, says no, all authority. We don't know our authority, so we just want all the influence. And I wrote something on my Facebook the other day. Don't be filled with pride because how many people follow you on Facebook. You've got to be positioned. You've got to be ready for war. There's a war going on. I don't know if you've sensed that in the spiritual realm. October is the year of war. And we've got to realize that in this time of war, you've got to be prepared for what's coming. And I'm not speaking about the election. I'm speaking about the principalities, the powers, the spirits. There's all these things happening. Jezebel has infiltrated the church, and now truth is no longer truth. If somebody speaks the truth, we say, well, they're gossiping. God showed me that a few weeks ago as I was walking. The Lord said to me, Pastor Pat, he said, Jezebel has infiltrated the church so much so that it's no longer the truth. Don't speak the truth. Don't tell me the truth. Just tell me what I want to hear. Make me feel comfortable. The prophets are no longer prophesying. They're just echoing what everybody else is saying. They're not hearing the frequency of heaven. And I want to tell you, God says, I want you to hear the frequency of heaven. Also, we must break the mindset. We must break this mindset. Say, Lord, help me with my mindset that leaders are only, they are the ones responsible to you to receive. No, they no longer just, we are not going to be responsible to your relationship with God. You are. You're responsible. You're responsible to receive. You're responsible to hear. You're responsible to read. You're responsible to pray. We have this mindset, oh, well, my pastor. No, you are. Amen? Come on. So we've got to come out of this mindset that it's the leaders that responsibility to bring you into this place. No, it's all our responsibility. Reformation, listen to me, reformation is the outgrowth of revival. We need a revival, people. Now, this week is not people say, oh, you're going to have a week revival. No, this is not a revival. This is a meeting. You know, in the South, when you go and do a Sunday morning meeting, that's a revival. No, it's not. No, we need a revival. A revival means my heart is broken before God, and the way I respond draws God or attracts God into the atmosphere. That's revival. And there's a brokenness, and there's a weeping, and there's a worshiping, and God moves, and there's things happening. That's revival. And cities are changed, and regions come into a place of renewal. That's revival. I need revival. Come on, I'm crying out for revival. Reformation is the outgrowth of revival. We must usher in revival. Come on, in your prayer time, you should be praying, God, I need revival. I need revival in my house. I need revival in my worship. Not in this worship, in my house. I need revival in my marriage. I need revival. God, revive us, Lord. Come on, stir me up, Lord. I need to be stirred. I need revival in my home. I want to bring Jesus with me to church, because some of us still think we have to come to Jesus, to come to church to find Jesus. No, Jesus came with you. This is an atmosphere where we celebrate him and we receive instruction to activate us to go out and do even more. Amen. Come on. We should be so on fire for God. Let me tell you, I've arrived on Thursday, and when I flew over into Hawaii, I'm always gauging the atmosphere. And the Lord said, Hawaii has never been this ready for revival. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But you'll get it. You've got to be ready. God says the portals are open. I'm ready to. And this week, I'm bumping into people that love Jesus. Yeah, there, everywhere. Everybody loves him. Man, it's like I'm on a Christian island. Say Reformation. Say, I'm a reformer. Come on, say it again. I am a reformer. Reformation starts with me. I carry the Spirit of God. Go and read Isaiah 61, and the glory of the Lord will be seen on you. We're all looking for God's glory somewhere. Maybe I can find it in that church, and maybe I can find it in that church. No, God says, my glory has come on you. Gross darkness covers the whole earth, but my glory will be seen on you. That's Reformation. Amen. So wherever you go, it doesn't matter where you go. Maybe farmland, the farm, what's that place called? We went to a major shop yesterday. Farmland Foods. Foodland Farms. I thought it was Foodland or Farms. Amen. That was like that's like Eat Street right there. You don't even have to go to a restaurant. You just walk around there just eating. You guys sure know how to eat here in Hawaii. You look so good because you eat so good. Amen. Come on. Last week I was on way more. This week I weigh less. No, it's back to front. But anyway, so when you get saved, how many of you are saved? How many of you are not saved yet? How many of you need to receive Jesus as your personal Savior? Anybody? You need to receive Jesus? Still got your hand up. How many of you have never received Jesus before? You've never asked Jesus into your life. This is a good moment to do that. Very good moments. Every moment is a good moment. Amen? Every moment. Say every moment. Don't look for the moments. Don't miss a moment. Amen? Come on. But in the moment, the minute you receive your salvation, something happened. Listen, we've got to look at this stuff. Let me read it like this. So your salvation translates into various radical responses. How many of you know that when Jesus in John chapter 3, he says to the Pharisee that came to him, Nicodemus, he said, you must experience. When you receive the kingdom of heaven, if you don't become born again, you'll never experience the kingdom. See, we've got to be experiencing the kingdom. A lot of people don't experience the kingdom. The experience that they have is the infilling, and they receive Christ, and that's awesome. But beyond that point, there needs to be a manifestation of the kingdom of heaven in you and through you. We don't experience that. And so your salvation needs to translate into various radical responses, because the person who came to live inside of you is radical. The Holy Spirit is radical, man. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that's radical. Amen. Come, blew that rock right out of the place. They sealed it. Come on. Jesus was raised from the dead. That's radical. Say radical. Now, you need to be radical. Some of you aren't radical yet. Little passive. Still a little passive. You've got to get radical, because let me tell you, the devil's radical. Well, Dee and myself have learned, even this week, we've got to be alert. Every moment, we've got to be alert. We've got to be alert. What's happening in the spiritual realm? What's happening? Who's this person? Who's trying to get hold of me? Who's that? Who's this? Who's this? I mean, even this week, Dee and myself had to block people off our Facebook because they were radical enough to try and get us to be distracted. Some of you have been distracted because you're not alert. Every little thing that comes away, oh, well, that's okay. It looks cool. Don't worry about it. You've got to be so radical. You've got to reform your mind. Your mind has to be reformed in the season. You've got to walk in reformation in your mind, in your soul, and in your spirit. Amen? You guys okay? And so worship. So, yeah, we have these radical encounters, these radical So your salvation, let me read this again. I don't want to lose it. So your salvation translates into various radical responses. Response number one, worship. So I become a worshiper of God. Worship is everything to us. My prayer time. I'm a radical prayer warrior. We spend time in prayer. We don't do anything without prayer. Amen. Come on. These are all things that we are now experiencing. Thanksgiving. We are coming into a moment of thanksgiving. Knowing His Word. There's a radical transition into His Word. I want to know His Word. Do you know many people say to me all the time, because I'm a prophet, they say, God never speaks to me. You know why they say that? Because they're not reading His Word. They're not in His Word. Because if you were in His Word, you would be hearing from Him. Through His Word. Amen. Come on. You want to gauge what people know about God? Listen to how they think about His Word. If they've got nothing to say about His Word, I can tell you right now, they're not in His Word. And if you're in His Word, He is going to speak to you. So His Word. Amen. Come on. His Word. This book here is full of power. The power of my word. He says my name or my word is above my name. Come on, man. His word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So when you read His word, you are going to get a download of who He is. Come on. And all the responses relate or translate into a powerful effect on people. All those things I've just mentioned start to translate into this powerful effect on people that are committed to the and that are actually part of the society. Amen. Come on. So when you worship, even the worship we had this morning, do you know that the worship this morning impacted the society around us? The communion that we took this morning actually had an impact on the society around us, the atmosphere around us. See, we just think it's just us sitting here, but there's more of us sitting in this building than we think. Amen, come on. We think, oh, Hawaii is so beautiful. I don't know if you know, but there's actually a spiritual realm. And if you're dull to the spiritual realm, you won't understand how to administrate the spiritual realm. See, when you start speaking about supernatural and you start speaking about spiritual things, the church backs off because we're not aware of the spiritual realm. But for you and I to be reformers, we've got to be reforming the natural and the spiritual. We've got to be bringing authority into those two spheres because that's where we live. Amen. Come on. We live in the natural realm, but I'm a man of the Spirit. You're a man of the Spirit. And so we've got to realize these things are so important. Amen. In other words, as the harvest, how many of you know that the harvest consists of people? Because we become more saturated by the Lord, it creates a lifestyle that ultimately changes every sphere of society. So it starts with you and I, the way we approach God, the way we worship, the way we praise, the way we give thanks, the way we pray, the way we live our lives actually affects the harvest. The harvest is not just going to come in because we're going to sing a good few songs and whatever it is, or you stand with a black card that says Jesus loves you. No, the harvest comes in when we become practically involved in our society. When we speak the word of the Lord, when we prophesy. I want to tell you, I've seen prophecy actually bring people to Jesus. Prophetic evangelism. All of you should become prophetic. All of you should be able to have a word for somebody. All of you should be able to operate in the Spirit. I was praying over Dee the other day, and the Lord spoke a word to me. He says, your word, the word I've given you is spirit and life. Say spirit and life. Every word you speak is spirit and life. But you've got to know what you're speaking. You can't just say la, 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 la. You've got to know the word of God, and when it comes out of your mouth, because you're living in the presence of God, your word is spirit and life. Hebrews 4:12. What does it say in Hebrews 4:12? And the word of God is life, alive, and full of power. Say the word of God. No, say it like you mean it. Say the word of God is full of life, full of power, it's active, it's energizing, it's a double-edged sword. That's what you have in your mouth. And we want everything to change. We want Washington, D.C. to change. We want this to change. We want that to change. We want the economy to change, but you're not speaking it. You're just waiting it. Well, maybe it'll change. No, you've got to get up and say, no, I'm going to start speaking it. I need to change. There needs to be societal change. There needs to be atmospheric change. There needs to be regional change. I've got to be a reformer. I've got to step up there and I've got to change the atmosphere. So I'm alert all the time. My antennas are up all the time. I'm alert. You can ask D, is that true or not? I'm alert all the time. People say, are you like this all the time? Are you this passionate all the time? Are you this? It's like I've got my finger on the trigger all the time. Yes. Come on. How many of you are hunters? Somebody, please put your hand up. One hunter. What do you guys all become, bunny huggers and bear huggers and tree huggers? No, I'm a hunter. And when you're hunting in Africa, big game, you don't walk around whistling. Oh, it's such a beautiful day. Big hunters, where? They put their hands up. They're hiding. Any big hunters? Big hunter? Put your hand up, brother. Make me feel good. You with me? Hallelujah. And you can ask big hunters that hunt real game, not deer. Real game that could kill you. You don't walk around the bush like Goldilocks. Like the, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. No, you ready, your hands on the trigger. Ready in case a lion or a leopard or elephant or buffalo come out of the bush. You don't want to be in La La Land when that happens. And so in the spiritual realm, we've got to get out of La La Land and we've got to get into the sphere of supernatural faith and vision and expectation, because we know that when we speak the word, something's going to change. See, we're missing the point. All of us are waiting for heaven. That's the full payment, but the down payment was the Holy Spirit. And the down payment gets us positioned for the full payment. But we're not all waiting for the full payment, because ultimately we all know that we will be seated with Christ in a twinkling of an eye. I will be in his presence. But until then, I'm going to take I'm gonna experience the benefit of the down payment, and that is the ability to walk in the Spirit now. That's the down payment. Go and read it. Ephesians chapter 1, I think, 11 to 14. Go and read it. And it says that the Holy Spirit was given and as a down payment so that we can experience all these different expressions of the kingdom of God on the earth before. And so what the church of old did, and I don't have a problem with the church 50 years ago, 20 years ago, we all sang songs, I'll fly away home in glory. And so the church all got ready to fly away home. I'm not flying anywhere until my appointed time. But we taught the church that. And everybody was just waiting for the rapture. Is this true or not? And so what it did was we took our armor off, we put our sword down, put our shield down, and all of us were just waiting for the bus to come and get us. I'm waiting for the rapture, hallelujah. And then all those movies came out, Left Behind, and so that just compounded the desire for everybody to get more lazier. And we just gave up territory. Walked away from the mountain of media, walked away from the mountain of arts, walked away from the mountain of business, walked away from all the 7, 8, 10, 25 mountains, and now everybody else is on the mountain, and now we want to get back up the mountain, and the devil says, no, this is not your mountain, this is my mountain. Hello? And we have no reformational reference, we have no transitional reference, we have no revival references, because all the revivals we've seen have been a mess. So the church is all sitting around wanting to do church. Feed me, help me, burp me, change my diaper. It's about me. God says, no, you've just entered the battlefield. And if you're not ready, and if you don't understand, I want to tell you, we'll lose this war. And then we have to go through another battle and another battle. Go and do a little bit of research on the wars that took place in the days of David. How many wars they had to fight over and over and over with the Syrians, because the dudes that had the opportunity didn't do the job. Guess what? We're still fighting the same war. in Gaza, in Syria, in Iran, in Iraq. Guess where that came from? That came from the guys in the Old Testament that couldn't get it together. When Saul was supposed to kill people, he brought some sheep back. Go and read it. It's in the book. And it's not my version. It's in the book. And so let me give you some examples. Can I give you some examples of nations that had reformational skills? Listen to this. You'll love this, Pastor John. I know that you'll love this. They had reformational skills, but never allowed those skills to have a flow down effect into society. Number one, the Roman Empire. Sound familiar? They had all the skills. Do you know that they were on the cutting edge of military? I mean, they had the military, they had architecture, they had engineering. They were on the cutting edge of engineering, Corey. They had all the skills, but they allowed the reformational skill and the ability, they never allowed it to flow down into society. So it stayed in the higher echelon of the Roman Empire. And how many of you have ever been to the Roman Empire? It's gone. It's gone. All you can do in Rome now is eat pizza and get on a scooter. It's no longer an empire. Amen. Come on. It's gone. Yeah, we are in America. This is America. We always like to speak about Africa and the third world countries. No, America, you have the skills. You have the most amazing skills. You have innovative. You have Google. You have Elon Musk. Hallelujah. I hope we don't miss the opportunity that God is releasing over this nation. Listen to me. There are still things in this nation yet not even invented. Come on. We could use these skills. I've met some amazing people, skilled engineers. I'm thinking, we have the cream of the crop in America. We have the cream of the crop in the church. We have the Holy Spirit. The center of the universe. But the church is, another day, I'll just wait for the rapture. I'm starting to think, maybe we should change our mindset about the rapture. Okay, man, come on. Maybe we should start thinking, when will Jesus actually come back? It says Jesus will come for a bride without spot or blemish. He's coming for a glorious bride that's not going to be hanging around waiting for some quick fix. No, he's coming for this majestic, beautiful, glorious bride full of power and authority. That's what Jesus is coming back for. So how many of you think he's coming back for a church that looks like a paraplegic? You think he's coming back for a dysfunctional bride? No, one of you is like, no, and the rest of you, I don't know. You reformational, you here for such a time as this. You the one that God's placed in this nation to bring change and to bring revival. You sitting right there in that chair, you carry God, you carry the anointing, you carry the ability and the substance to change. But you've got to believe it. Amen, come on. You've got to believe it. You've got to look at the Roman Empire. They were on the cutting edge of the military, architecture. They failed because they could not transform people. See, I've sat around a lot of people. I've been around a lot of people. And I've sat down with pastors in Africa that didn't even have a complete Bible. And I've seen those men in Africa, in Uganda, in the backwoods of Uganda, where there's no running water, where there's no flushing toilets, where there's no showers. I've seen those men transform a nation. Why? Same Holy Spirit. All they needed was somebody to come there and affirm what they carried and recognize what they carried and give them the teaching and the knowledge that became revelation, and those men have now become champions. So it doesn't matter where you live. God's not limited by geographical boundaries. Amen, come on. But these men failed because they couldn't transform people. That's why I love the prophetic so much, because I've seen the prophetic ministry and the word of God transform people. And you all sitting at the sound of my voice this week, I believe you've come through a season and you are ready for transformation. Amen, come on. The second nation, the Greek Empire. The Greek Empire were on the cutting edge of shipbuilding more than anybody in the world. The Greeks knew how to build boats. And not only did they know how to build boats, but they were conquerors, even greater than the Vikings. And where are they today? Non-existent. Why? Because they didn't know how to translate what they carried and bring it into the hearts of the people that actually worshiped them, or they were governed. They were governed by people. Amen, come on. Greeks governed. They governed. They were conquerors. They went and conquered. And today when you go to Greece, you know that Greece now is the most hopeless nation in the world when it comes to Christianity. Greece. All you can have in Greece is a good meal. But there's no churches in Greece. Very small, very insignificant. In actual fact, I want to start a church in Greece. Because it's so... not hostile, but it's so, there's nothing there. It's almost like a wilderness. And so we've got to realize, guys, that we can't lose our momentum. You've got to start to pray these prayers. God, I thank you that in this season of my life, I'm stepping into being a reformer. God, I'm reformational in my thinking. What does that actually mean? It means that I've taken notice and I notice the fact that I carry the presence of God in my life. Amen. Come on. I want to turn the whole world upside down. And I'm starting to realize that the prophetic ministry is not just going to be personal prophecy. We're going to actually stand and prophesy over nations and seeing God bring things into existence. Amen. Come on. We're going to see the Elijah type of prophets being raised up. Amen. Come on. We're going to start to see that type of prophetic people. So it's going to take a strong, and I just love the fact that when you put the name of your church up there, it says Apostolic Center. That really gets my heart going, because I believe it's going to take strong apostolic prophetic people, teaching cultures, teaching centers that's going to help navigate people into this new era. It's going to take apostolic prophetic leaders. They're going to help people find their destiny and purpose. So what's going to look like? It's going to look like this. God's moving the church from membership to kingdomship. In other words, all of you sitting here, all of you are either on the boat or in the bridge, but you're on the aircraft carrier. Amen. Come on. This is not a hospital ship. There's a sick bay on the aircraft carrier, but it's not a hospital ship. But we've treated the church like a hospital ship. What's your name? Andrew, let me tell you right now, God wants to stir you and bring you into this place where you can start thinking missions. Amen? Come on. God wants your heart. God wants to heal your heart. He wants you to know that this is not just a spectator sport anymore. It's now becoming a participator in the purposes of God. At one stage, all those disciples were fishermen. That was their skill. That was their business. And then Jesus walks on the beach and says, hey, I'll make you a fisher of men. And I believe God is calling you to be a fisher of men. Come on, you've got it on the inside of you. How many languages do you speak? And what is that language? English. How many English people live in this vicinity? And do they all speak English? Yes, you thought I was going to think like you from Korea or Japan. Maybe he speaks a little Japanese. No, you're English. And so God says, Hawaii is really a prominent English place. God wants you to start to step out of the boat and bring people into relationship with Jesus. Amen. Come on. What is your name? Leah, God says, I've surrounded you with people that are the arty, almost like I see media and I see arts and media and I see production on your life. And God says, how about bringing some of those people that are a little bit on the edge, a little eccentric, a little weird, why don't you bring them into the kingdom? Because you're surrounded with people like that all the time. Some of you sitting here, you need to say, okay, why do I feel, I just so feel so drawn to the lost? Well, guess what? Maybe you should go and bring some. See, that's reformational. We say, oh, well, you have to be an evangelist. No, no, not evangelist. All you need is, you need to start thinking reformational. That's what I'm going to do. So it takes strong apostolic prophetic leadership and prophetic cultures to help navigate people into this new era. We've got to become reformers. To become reformers who walk in the lifestyle of the kingdom so they become change agents and usher in revival and reformation. And I've got 16 more pages. So Father God, this morning, I thank you. I just love Pat. You really encourage me. She wrote like 7 pages. That encourages me. And I want to encourage you. Can we just have some music up here, worship leader? If you can just get on the keyboard or something just to make a noise. Father God, we just thank you for your kingdom come, your kingdom come. This lady sitting here with a green hat on your head, what's your name? God's kingdom is going to come in your life. And God says, come up here. I want to lay hands on you. I'm going to call some people up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, we just thank you. That brother with a white t-shirt on sitting by yourself, come up here. Just come make a... Can you, somebody help me just move all the paraphernalia out of the way? Thank you. All these nice, beautiful things, not paraphernalia. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, just come and make a line up here looking towards there, looking towards the cross. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you, Jesus. This man with the green shirt on and sitting here with this man, both of you come up here. I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. God, we just thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. That lady with that I just spoke to, come up here, please. And we're going to have the whole week of prophetic school. I want you to come back. Invite people. You're going to get a manual for free. Don't even have to pay for it. And I'm going to take you through that manual. I don't know, do they have to register? But I'd like you to register so that we know how many manuals we need to print. Amen? Is that okay? And you're going to get a manual and you're going to get prophetic instruction that's going to help you to understand how the prophetic ministry works. That lady over there with the blue dress on, just come out here, please. Thank you, Jesus. Come out quickly. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. And if you're not going to get a word today, you will get a word this week sometime. Thank you, Jesus. God, we love you. We worship you. This man with all the pictures on your shirt, who are you with? Are you with somebody? You guys together? Come. Just come. Mike and Sue. Is it Mike and Sue? Come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This lady with a big bun on your head, come. Thank you, Jesus. God, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord. Look at me. God is not forgotten. And when I looked at you this morning, I felt the Lord say, I am going to pour out my spirit over your life. I'm going to preserve you, and your life will be a testimony of my goodness. So don't listen to all the voices, because there's been 150,000 voices. God says, listen to my voice. For by my stripes you have been healed, and I will restore what the canker worm has tried to eat and destroy. But in this season, you're going to rise up above the chaos, the wind, and all the different things that is trying to break over your life. God says, I will preserve you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. What's your name? Jimmy, your name is Peter. You're like a Peter. And on this rock, I'll build my church. Come on, you've got to get out there and put some nets in the water. Come on. What are you waiting for? There's such a radical anointing on your life. God has protected your life. Now it's time to go out there and find. Lay the hands there. On there. Right there. That's where the power of God is. Come on. In Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. Look at me. The old has passed away. All things have become new. Stop dwelling in the past. You keep on going back into the past and allowing the past to dictate your life. God says, no, today's a new day. You've got to start to rise up, put it in your mouth and say, today's a new day. I'm not going back. I'm going forward. In Jesus' name. Come on. In Jesus' name. What's your name? Jennifer, you have a teaching anointing. I saw you torching. Maybe that's a new word. You were torching the hearts of children. You were teaching children. And sometimes, even you sitting in the corner there, oh, well, you know, I don't think I've got it. No, you have an amazing anointing of God on your life. You've got to rise up in this season because you can get away with stuff. Do you know why? Because you look so soft and gentle. You're so kind. But yet you've got a fire in your belly. Come on, lay hands there. In Jesus' name, do you believe it? Are you born again? Are you a reformer? Yes. So Father, in Jesus' name, come strongly on her life. In Jesus' name. Father God, even her family, even the people that have mocked you, I see people laughing at you and mocking you and saying, ha ha ha. God says, no, I'm going to touch their hearts. Look at me. And I am going to bring them in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. When I looked at you this morning, the Lord said, you said, this is what you say. God, I don't know. God, I don't know if I've got anything to give. God, I don't know if I can do all this. God, I don't know. I don't think. I don't know. Let's see what happens. You need to stop saying that. You have been faithful all these years. And I just got an amazing picture. I saw God take you and dip you in the most beautiful liquid gold. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb in Jesus' name. What is your names? Tony and? You guys are just such a blessing. Tony. You live your life just, sometimes you just, oh no, I can't do that. And I don't know how to do it. And God says, no, son, I've tested you. You've been tested. You've been field tested, brother. We need men like you to stand up. I don't know if you guys have a program like this in Hawaii, but we have a program called DOGS, Dads on Assignment. You know what that means is you've got to start to say, God, which school should I go into? Which young men can I go and mentor? Because sometimes you feel, Teresa and Tony, you feel, put your hand in your wife's hand. You feel sometimes that, look at me, you've missed the mark with your own kids. God says you haven't. I'm going to restore everything. Your household will be a place of rejoicing and praise. And I'm going to give you other sons and daughters. Do you hear me? Amen. Come on. God's going to teach you. I just see, you know, God's going to come and he's going to come and revitalize and restore your hearts. You guys are so faithful. You've got to hear that 150 times because the enemy's trying to come and tell you you're not faithful. You're not faithful. You're not faithful. You don't do this. No, God says you're faithful. Amen. Come on. Go to your pastor. Pastor, you're the new pastor. There's no more interim pastor. Go to this man here as the pastor. Go to him and say, Pastor, sign us up. We want to get involved, whatever you've got. Same with you guys. You've got such an anointing on your life. You like this consulting engineer anointing. Detailed anointing. Don't you think we need men and women like you in the kingdom? To do things in the kingdom. Pray, worship. Those are all part of the package. But there's other anointings and skills that you carry, brother. Planning, consulting, finances. Amen? Just hold hands. Come on. I just saw God give you innovative ideas, both of you, that are going to add to God building His kingdom in Hawaii like never before. Amen? Come on, look at me, sister. You have a prophetic gift God wants to stir up. You're going to start having dreams and visions because everybody thinks you're the silent, quiet type. But you're not. God's going to cause you to speak the word of the Lord. And you're going to come up with all sorts of ideas and skills and like a mathematician in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Give God a hand. And I've got a word for you, Corey, you and Tracy. You're like an investigator reporter. Everything you see, you want to investigate. You want to find out. And God says, I've given you that anointing, that authority to make sure that it's my kingdom. Because you're a tester. People can come with you with all sorts of stuff. You want to test it. Can this work? Can this bear pressure under, can this thing withhold pressure? That type of pressure. You're always testing the soil, testing this. And God says, that's how you're going to operate in the spirit. You'll test it. Because in these days, Jezebel released all sorts of false doctrine and false things and false prophets and false teachers. And God says, I've made you like a radar and you'll pick it up. You'll pick up the false thing in the atmosphere. You'll pick it up. And the Lord says, Tracy, sometimes you out there on, you're right out ahead, like 200 miles ahead. You are running at 6,000 revs a minute. There's going to be times that you're going to have to listen to what He says. Because He's going to help you. He's going to protect you. He's going to protect the integrity of what you carry. Because already the enemy has tried to come with the prophetic. The enemy comes. How many of you know that if it's not a Porsche made by a Porsche, it's not a Porsche? And the enemy has tried to come and make, what are those things called? Knockoffs. Counterfeit. And the Lord says, you will not again, ever again, will you be affected by the counterfeit. Because the counterfeit is trying to come and say, oh, well, we'll partner with you. And the God says, it's been a counterfeit. Because you will also, because of your anointing, to expose the counterfeit. That's how Jezebel works. Jezebel will always come and build a partnership, but it's so deceptive. And God says, I've given you like this vest. I just see like this anointing on your life. You can smell it. You can sense it. And God says, in this season, you're going to help leaders in nations and cities around the world be safe. It's almost like you're going to safeguard the integrity of leadership in this season. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you. Robert, I want to tell you something. God says, I'm going to bring such clarity to you in this season. Clarity about the future. Clarity about the present. God says, you're not an Esau, you're a Jacob. You're not an Esau, you're a Jacob. You know what that means? Esau was running around the wilderness trying to kill stuff to eat, and he couldn't convert what he killed into something he could eat. That's why he went to Jacob for a pot of stew. Jacob sat in his tent and he knew his destiny, he knew his inheritance, he knew everything about God. Where Esau became a consumer, Jacob was a producer. And the Lord says, son, because you've been a producer all of your life, I will bless you, I will keep you, I will guide you, I will launch you even to things that you never thought you'd ever understand. This is not the closure of your life. This is the beginning of something fresh. So you got to rise up in this season, Robert, and you can say, no, I'm not at the, this, these aren't the twilight years. I'm 3 years older than you. Do I look like I'm in my twilight years? No. I'm 53. And God wants you to know, Robert, long life. I declare that over you. Where the enemies try to tell you that you won't live past 65. Is that right? God says, no, I'm breaking that off you. I'm going to lay hands on him, Pastor. I break that off him. I break, you are a reformer. Since I've known you, you've been a reformer. You've been a man after God's own heart. I break that lie of the enemy off you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that you would live way beyond your expectation in Jesus' name. Everybody look at me. Just lay your hand on your heart. Everybody say, Lord Jesus, thank you that I'm stepping into my reformational mantle. I am a reformer. I am a change agent. And I step into that today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.